Your baptism means more than you may realize. In that video, you saw the actual location of Jesus' baptism. And as Mark mentioned on the video, that location is also the place where we see the Joshua and the nation of Israel crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land. It was a new beginning for them, absolutely, but it was also in Jesus' baptism, this new beginning for us. And yet there's a question that we need to answer, because oftentimes our answer to this question is incomplete. And so the question is, why was Jesus baptized? And we typically answer that question by saying that, well, Jesus was baptized to set an example for us. And if you've ever given that answer, you're not wrong. You're just not completely right. Sorry, there's more to it than just that. And maybe we first need to ask the question, why was John baptizing? Mark 1:4 tells us that. It says, "And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." So that's John's baptism. It's about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That is the exact same phrase that we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter is preaching at Pentecost for the very first time since Christ has risen from the dead. 50 days after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes upon all of the disciples. Crazy things happen. They begin to speak in tongues. 3,000 people are baptized that day. And the promise that Peter makes is that if you repent and are baptized, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. The same phrase that we see John using during his ministry. Now, later in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, we do read these words of John: "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so that is the difference between John's baptism and the baptism we are offering you today. The promise given to you is that baptism, in that moment, God is going to grant you the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a spirit that is around you. Because for the Israelites, as they crossed into the Promised Land, the Spirit was there. It was leading them in the desert, a pillar of fire, a cloud. But that is just a Holy Spirit that is around them. He is going to give you a Holy Spirit that lives inside you. Do you need a new beginning today? Because baptism is the greatest new beginning we could ever offer you. John is the one in the wilderness. He is proclaiming and preparing the way for Jesus. And then Jesus actually shows up. And he wants John to baptize him. Why? Jesus doesn't have any sins that need to be washed away. Jesus doesn't need to repent. He doesn't need a baptism of repentance. Now, Mark was not there at the baptism of Jesus. We're pretty sure about that, but Matthew was. And Matthew helps us understand why Jesus was baptized. Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." Church, did you catch why Jesus was baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. That sounds really cool, doesn't it? What does it mean, though? What does it mean to fulfill all righteousness? How does him being baptized do that? John looks at Jesus and he says, "You don't have any sins. Why would I baptize you? No. You need to baptize me." And Jesus says, "No, that's not how we're going to do this. I must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness." How does that work? If Jesus has no sins, why was he baptized? It's because Jesus was baptized for sins, but not his own. He took our sins. He took on your sins, my sins. Why was Jesus crucified? For your sins. For the same reason that he was crucified, he was also baptized. Now, there still had to be a crucifixion because that is the punishment for sins. But in the water, Jesus is saying to the people around us, to the people who are watching, your sins have made you so corrupt that you need a new beginning. You need a fresh start. You need them cleaned and washed away. And so he took our sins upon himself in the waters of baptism. And two major things happen right after his baptism that indicates just how big of a deal this really was. Going back to Mark's account, he describes these things in Mark chapter 1, verse 10. It says, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The heavens were torn open. That word torn is a very unique word. It is a violent word, and Mark only uses it two times. Can you think of another instance in Mark's gospel where something was torn? The veil. The veil in the temple was torn. So at his baptism, we have something tearing up. At his crucifixion, there is the tearing of the veil in the temple. There's a Jewish historian, some of you know his name, Josephus. If you don't, Josephus was a Jewish man. He was a historian. He was a contemporary with Paul. And he gives us some insight into that veil and into the temple. He says the veil was as thick as the palm of your hand. Can you imagine what that would sound like with that tearing in two? He says it was torn from top to bottom. But he also tells us that on that veil was embroidered a picture of the heavens. That at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were torn open. And at his crucifixion, the heavens on that veil were torn open. I believe that God is trying to tell us something in that. That this is something incredibly important. That now you have access to him. Used to, that veil separated us from the holy place. But now you can walk right into his presence. And because of that, we have a totally different relationship with him. God is trying to tie these two events together so that you can see that Jesus was baptized for your sins and also crucified for your sins. Jesus' baptism is such a big deal that the entire Trinity shows up at the same time, which does not happen often. Your baptism means more than you may realize. Jesus' baptism fulfilled all righteousness. Perhaps the obvious next question would be, why should we be baptized? Like communion, baptism is a sacrament of the church. Baptism has been practiced for forever since Jesus resurrected in some form or another. But it is more than just a symbol. It's also more than just the first act of obedience after your conversion. We do baptism a disservice when we say it like that. Baptism is this reenactment on earth that is describing things that have happened in the past and even things that are happening in heaven. You are reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When you come up out of that water, the waters of baptism, you are coming up a new person, a new creation. That's why when people go into the water here, we say bye. Because a new person is coming up. The old is gone, the new has come. Romans 6:4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. So there are some incredible benefits of baptizing one another, being baptized. First, baptism makes us followers of Christ. Jesus began his ministry with it. He also finishes his ministry by telling us to go and make disciples and baptize them. Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, we actually become followers of Christ. And I believe one of the reasons that he commands us to do this is so that you will actually remember your baptism. Your strongest, most vivid memories will always involve your five senses. You think about that for a second, and you know that what I'm saying is absolutely true. Some of the strongest memories that I have from my childhood are the times camping with my dad, my grandfather, my uncle, my cousin, my best friend, a whole slew of guys from my church. And it's because it was all five senses involved in that. They're so vivid. Obviously, sight is part of that. But you have the smell of the food, the smell of fish as you're catching fish and filleting fish, the taste of the meals that we ate. Just the feeling when you get up in the morning and you're outside and that that cool air hits your skin, but it gives way to the warm sun. It is that feeling that you have, the smell of the campfires, the sound of nature, the sound of men and young boys singing praises to God around a fire. Your baptism taps into the visual, auditory, the tactile senses. Even taste and smell can come into play. This is why years later, you can remember the date, the time, and even the people of your baptism. I know that my spiritual birthday, the time of my baptism, is July 3rd. I know that it was John St. Clair, my youth minister, who put me under the water. He also married Abby and I. I know that it was Kenny McDonald and his son Kyle McDonald, who was just a year older than me, that were there to greet me and congratulate me when I came out of the baptismal changing room. They gave me my very first communion, and I remember that taste. And I think we are given baptism in part so that we will always remember that we are followers of Christ. Baptism also connects us to God. This is why baptism is not a symbol. It is a sacrament. Symbols represent something. A sacrament accomplishes something. And this sacrament connects us to heavenly kind of reality. Something actually changes in your baptism because you put on Christ when you go under the water. Galatians 3:27, it tells us that. It says, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothing. The old is gone. The new really has come because we put on Christ. And there's another connection that happens at our baptism. It is the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 describes that for us. It says he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Baptism is not a work. It's not. It is not the first act of obedience that we perform. Baptism is a work of God. The text says, he washed away our sins, that he gives us the new life. He generously pours out the Spirit upon us. It's all him. It is a gift. All you have to do is accept it. And that leads us to another benefit. Baptism saves us through faith. And maybe that phrase is a little too strong for you. After all, we are saved by grace through faith. That's Ephesians chapter 2. What I'm saying is that baptism is the appropriate expression of real faith. 1 Peter 3:21 says the same thing. It says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge, the allegiance of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we see the same thing in Mark 16:16. Proclaims the same thing. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Baptism saves us through faith. Before the 1500s, baptism was always part of the conversion process. When someone heard the good news about Jesus and they believed in him, then they put their faith in him, they repented of their sins, they confessed Jesus as Lord, and they were baptized. It all happened all together. We see this all throughout the book of Acts. But in the early 1500s, a man by the name of Ulrich Zwingli began to teach and to preach that baptism was not part of the salvation process. And that stuck through the time of the Reformation. And it did not begin to shift back until our movement of churches, the Restoration Movement, began to try to shift back towards the first century church. Baptism is not, it's not just this incredible thing that saves us through faith. It is also an act that removes both guilt and shame. It removes our guilt by forgiving our sins, washing them away. And at the same time, in your baptism, it is a public declaration that you are now part of the body of Christ, thereby removing your shame. It truly is a wonderful gift that God has given us. And because of maybe your history or because of your upbringing, some of you are maybe asking yourself the question, well, how should I be baptized? Some of you may have been baptized as an infant. Maybe you were sprinkled. Maybe you were immersed as a young child, but you weren't able to really express your faith. It was a parent or a grandparent. Well, how should you be baptized? And asking that makes the question seem contentious, and I don't want it to be that. please hear my heart in this. I'm not trying to be critical of anyone. The text has to win. The text must win in our preaching, in our teaching, in everything that we do. And Jesus says very clearly in John 3:3, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? That is a great question, right? Because he did not understand what Jesus was saying. Good question, Nicodemus. So Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And so water baptism is the method Jesus gave us. But what does baptism mean? What does the word mean? Well, in Greek, it's baptizo. We didn't actually translate it. We transliterated it. And so we just took the letters and plugged them in. So if you were to translate the word baptizo, it means to dip, to dunk, to immerse, or to wash. And so some of you may have been sprinkled as infants. Maybe you were immersed even as a baby. And you're concerned that if you were to get baptized today, you would be insulting your parents or maybe another family member. And I hope that you can see that accepting the gift of baptism doesn't say to them that they were wrong. It says to them, thank you. Thank you because what you did was set me on the right path, and it actually worked. In your baptism, you are confirming with your own confession that they accomplished their role of instilling faith in you. And my hope is that your family would feel affirmed that what they started has now come to fruition by way of the Spirit. So this leads us to our final question. When should I be baptized? And we can go to a lot of places in the book of Acts. You think of the Ethiopian eunuch and that moment where he's reading the text of Isaiah. Philip comes up and he helps him understand it. And he sees water and he says, why can't I be baptized right now? Happen right away. Paul actually shares his conversion experience, his testimony in Acts 22. And we see that baptism is the culmination of his conversion. After Jesus tells him to go to Damascus, here's what we read, Acts 22:11. I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and he said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And that very moment I could see him. Then he told me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. So when should you be baptized? You should get baptized when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he died for your sins. That very moment, you should begin to look for water. Because when you believe who he is and what the cross means, baptism should be your next response. It absolutely has to be. For some of you, that means right now, today. Today, you need to be baptized into Jesus, leaving the old life behind and ushering in a new life in Christ. It is the Father's desire that you accept this gift of baptism so that you can always and often and consistently and constantly remember your baptism. Anthony Walker is a Church of Christ preacher, and he says that in our baptism, we get a was testimony. He says, if you follow Jesus around long enough, you're going to get a was testimony. What is a was testimony? Here's what Anthony says. I found a guy one time following Jesus. He was blind. Not anymore. Found another person who was deaf. He says, but guess what? They was deaf. He calls it bad grammar, good theology. I like that. In Jesus' ministry, you see a lot of was testimony, right? There was a lame man. There was thousands who were hungry, but they were fed. Jesus ran across a man named Legion. He was possessed. There was a woman who was thirsty, another woman who was bleeding, even a man named Lazarus who was dead. When you accept Christ through baptism, you do get that was testimony. And for those of you here today, maybe you've never accepted this wonderful gift of baptism. I want you to understand that he is not just calling you out of something, he is calling you into something. He is calling you out of sin, but he's also calling you into forgiveness. He is calling you out of death and calling you into life, calling you out of addiction, calling you into wholeness, calling you out of the culture, calling you into the kingdom, calling you out of chaos and calling you into order, calling you out of chains, calling you to freedom. He is calling you out of your depression and calling you into joy. He is calling you out of pride and calling you into humility, calling you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, calling you out of anger and calling you into love. I got some more. You want a few more? I got a few more here. I've been called out of doubt, called into faith. I'm called out of temptation, called into a strength, called out of isolation, called into the church. We've been called out of lust, but called into purity, called out of greed, but called into giving, called out of earthly things, and called into heavenly treasure, called out of worry, called into trust, called out from in front of the wide gate and down to the narrow path, called out of foolishness, called into wisdom. I've been called out of unrighteousness, called to holiness, called out of drunkenness. Some of you have been called into sobriety, called out of ungratefulness and called into gratitude, called out of apathy, called into diligence, and called out of the world and called into the water. Your baptism means more than you may realize. Luke 9:23 tells us that if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. He is calling you to come and to die in the waters of baptism so that you might raise to a new life, to take up your cross, and to follow him. Will you follow him today?